if we attempt to understand how a life through concepts, reasonings, conjectures, we only go a little bit. We don't really comprehend the depth of who and what we are. There's all sorts of things we can learn about, do based on that learning, all sorts of ways of helping ourselves physically with illness, with food, with various other scientific and other technological developments that are marvelous. However, for this fundamental aspect of who and what we are, which we can call the Buddha way, the awakened way, which is to enable us to live as we are, as our life is, to live beyond harming and suffering of self-centeredness. At first, we attempt to do it in the usual way that we do things in life. Figure things out, self and others, learn theories and then think, okay, and I am going to apply these theories and so forth. And yet we find ourselves stymied by that because there are real limits in that. There's real limits in dualistic functioning, and who we are is beyond this dualism. And it's not a matter of believing this, but a matter of experiencing this. And the way to experiencing it is very clearly in our own body, mind, world, body, mind, universe, which is really one thing. I say it as if it's three things because I use three words, none of which are adequate. That's why practice is experiential. That's why practice, though we hear things from others, though there are teachings of the Buddhas and all sorts of ancestors that are very useful, their all point is to our doing this for ourselves. And if we attempt to, use an old word, fathom this through our own reasoning and thinking, we only get so far. Then we have to throw ourselves into our life. Throw our functioning into the life of this moment and discover, in a sense, that life supports and nurtures us. This body, mind, if I use that kind of word, this world of self and others, this conditions that we call some living and some not living, some sentient, some not sentient, all of this is who and what we are, which is why I could begin these series of talks with the quotes concerning the mountains and the rivers, or the mountains and the streams, which are the sound of the Buddha's tongue and the color of the Buddha's body are the numerous sutras expressing what it is to live as this awakened life, or what it is to live a life which, instead of being hindered by ongoing changing, instead of being hindered by non-self, we are nurtured and can nurture others with this. And we do this with our simple practice of being upright and still, being present in moving in our daily activities, in the most ordinary daily activities. And we do it in such activities as atonement, which I spoke a little bit about yesterday. Sometimes we translate that word into repentance. It's a fine word, but we hear words and we don't realize, but automatically we slot them into our dualistic conceptions and preconceptions. Even a word like atonement is easy to think I'm atoning for something I did and some burden I have, I did out there to them and them, or they did to me and me. And yet, in the word, as I often stress, is the acknowledging and, if I say the word, experiencing beyond dualism, the being at one. At one isn't one, but it's what we can say in English, so that we can open ourselves up to this mystery that is our life, which is just right now, just now, now, and yet it's a now of past, future, a now of so-called self, other, and a now which is beyond the ideas of physical, mental, and therefore, we can be at one with all sorts of so-called pasts, all sorts of things we're entangled and holding, releasing, and of course we're still in the mystery of cause and effect, releasing and yet taking care of it over and over as habits, as the mystery of beliefs, of ongoing tendencies keep reappearing. So our practice is always right now, and yet, if as we atone, as we open to the universe, we are supported by the universe. Don't have to figure out how and why and what, because we always are exactly this universe. Then self, others, we don't have to get caught by it, and yet we can be nurtured by it. We can be connected, or if I use a fancy word, interconnected, which is always our life. We can always be connected to the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara that sees the emptiness of all conditions and thus relieves suffering. We're talking about relieve suffering and pain of our life and of all the other beings who share our life, or whose life we share, whichever way we say it in English, all other beings, so-called human, so-called not human, so-called living, so-called insentient, those are just categories. See? And even words, fancy, strange words like karma or past, and we know this very well in other aspects of human, being human. It's an obstacle as when we're entangled in it. It's an obstacle when it arises and we grab and believe it. And yet, its arising is the opportunity to open the hand that grasps to, if I use different kinds of words, forgive, release, be at one. If you want to use a different word, say repent. I don't care. But don't be careful if you take that in a punitive way. Take that in a way, think there's a burden that you carry. It's only right now that the arising universe manifests in different ways for us. Our, call them self-centered habits and tendencies, entangle and interpret and misinterpret events based on our so-called beliefs, fears, strategies. That's why we stress the importance of noticing how we're caught, where we're holding, where we're creating self out of no self, and ensuring and ushering the universe that self and other is the way it is. I am this story that I tell myself, as opposed that a story arises and passes. We resist giving ourselves over to the universe, whatever way you want to use it. You want to use the word God, that's fine with me. You want to use the word Buddha, that's fine with me. If it's skillful for you, that's what's important. Skillful for you in what? So that you can live in this world compassionately and also experience the world compassionately in the midst of shared, ongoing, changing conditions. Shared, ongoing, changing conditions. Of course, when I say shared, you think, well, I'm sharing with them or they're sharing with me. Of course, that's a problem. If we hold on to it. Otherwise, it's a fine set of words to say. Because it's useful. So whether it's the morning star or the flower or the rock that we bump into or the leaves that brush us as we're walking down the street and the overhanging tree is right there in front of us, dropping water on us. These are all the universe's opportunities to wake, to be awake. That means to be right where we are. Always. That's our opportunity. Right where we are. However we are. Sometimes it's even the opportunity to feel the aches and pain of the moment in this body. Sometimes it's to feel the aches and pain of beings that we're with. Magically, we can be with beings and be open to our connectedness and experience aches and pains as they suffer, as they allow us the opportunity to compassionately respond. Compassion means going beyond this little bag of skin and bones called me and compassion together with them, whoever they is, humans, non-humans, trees, beings we know, beings we don't know, sentient, insentient. Those categories are fine, useful, wonderful categories, and if they become straitjackets, they blind us and they cause us to suffer. Then we can't hear the rain singing the sutras. We can't feel the wind chanting along with us. We can't feel the sounds of the traffic as they nurture us, as they snap the moment to help us, remind us, be here, this, this. It depends on us, and the more we are doing, the more we discover we are supported and nurtured. If I say supported and nurtured by Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and their compassion, wonderful, that's a way to say it. If I just want to say, oh yes, I'm supported and nurtured by all sorts of living beings, that's a wonderful way. If I say by living beings and non-living beings, that's another way to say it. But we discover it because we are willing to be at one, which is what Zazen is. Being at one, being experiencing, if I say it that way. And using all sorts of devices to enable us to be what we are, not to create this, but in order to sometimes release the blinders of the moment, or to release the entanglement of the moment, and find the form that makes it able for us to let go of where we're holding, so that we could hear and see the life that we are. So that was the reason I began with the quotes from Dogen. I want to avoid going on too much here so that I could have time. But that's the reason I began with the quotes from Dogen regarding the valley streams, valley rivers, the mountain forms. But of course, it's always available. It's available in the traffic on Prospect. It's available in the downpour when it's raining. It's available in the hot, dry, muggy afternoon when that's the way it is. It's available even with the people who are saying things that we don't want to hear, or with people who require us to be with them because of their illness or need of help. Or, and then we could fill in the Buddhist tradition talks about 84,000, or but simply myriad circumstances, myriad beings, who are all there only as we are there, as our life and their life are just this moment. Then we can benefit both so-called sentient and insentient beings, and we are benefited by sentient and insentient beings, since simultaneously we are all together all the time. That's why we say all harmful actions. You could say it a different way. Someone translates it, all past unwholesome actions. If we say all such things. We think there's something accumulating somewhere over my shoulder, on my back that I'm carrying along. No, but simply the cause and effect that arises in the process of being alive, that we discover for ourselves in our mind, in our tendencies, in our bodily conditions. We have bodily conditions that reflect ancient actions. Sometimes in very simple medical terms we can discover it. You know, I had an injury to my eye when I was 3 years old, and 50 years later, 60 years later, that eye had one problem after another, manifesting eventually in blindness. What the connection is, who knows? There was no medical connection that anyone could discover, and yet there certainly is connections, just as that injury was the result of certain other actions. We don't have to figure it out. We take care of what's obvious to us. So when we sit, we take care of what arises. When we practice throughout the day, we be present so that we could notice what's happening, whether we say it caught, holding, whether we call it a strategy that I notice, a fear, belief that's arising, whether we call it body, mouth, thought, whether it manifests as greed or anger or simple confusion, delusions and stories. Doesn't make a difference. It's always our practice of this moment, taking care of this moment in the skillful way of, if we want to say, being, experiencing, if we want to say, manifesting compassion, going, being at one, all sorts of words. You know your practice, and to the extent that it's unclear, that's the opportunity here. You can consult with myself or with Mushin or with anyone else who is helpful. The sutras, the various texts can be helpful, but they aren't going to do it for you. They're there just to consult in your practice entanglements. Reading them is of no use unless you live your practice sitting and throughout your day. And living your practice is just taking care of this moment, breathing this moment, being present this moment. Cooking, cleaning, talking, sitting still, walking, walking your dog, cleaning up after the dog's poop, or cat, or horse, or whatever other aspect and form of life you live. I remember when I had a young child, a daughter, and I used to sometimes, for those of you who have experience with this, you know, you're an infant. I'll be graphic, pees or poops into a diaper, and okay, they start becoming uncomfortable. It starts smelling, so you start cleaning him up, and you do first. You change the diaper. Well, you open the diaper. You see what's there. You change it. You clean them up with appropriate rags or wipes or whatever, and you start putting on a clean diaper, and right away, before you even lock it up, again, out gushes what needs to be taken care of again. So again you do it. And then maybe out gushes again, or not. The universe keeps giving us opportunities to take care of what needs to. We do our best. And then we notice if we have ideas, okay, I've taken care of this. It's all done. It's going to go the way I want it. I'm going to fix my car, fix my computer, cut up this food, and I've got it going. And I turn my back, and all of a sudden it's boiled over, and it's all over the stove, or whatever. Or someone says something to you, and you hear it, and you respond. Or maybe you mishear it and misrespond, and they are happy or angry, or refuse to talk to you and walk out. Or you're walking into a store and you're thinking about, and you, come on, you're upset. Don't even realize that you're carrying that along. And of course it creates turmoil and tension with others in the store, with yourself. Who knows what happens? So the universe is the Buddhas and ancestors who are coming to support us, to enable us to live and be who we are, and to manifest ourselves in being who we are compassionately to all the others with whom we share life. So that's the reason for talking in this way, to encourage you all to continue your Sesshin practice, continue your life practice, because that's what nurtures compassion, nurtures us all, nurtures each of us, and takes care of what needs to be taken care of. Then the Buddhas support us. We support the Buddhas and ancestors. We are revealed as the Buddhas and ancestors that we are. If you want to use a different word, you could say we are one with Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and ancestors. And the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and ancestors reveal us the wonderful life that we are. Thank you.